with a total world population of about 7 billion people, so we're a little outnumbered. Just as Gideon was in the Old Testament. But God's commandment then and now is that we love one another. And when Jesus departed this earth, his last commandment to his disciples as he ascended into heaven was, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." So, because of our commitment to that great commission, we distribute Bibles so that God's word can speak directly to men and women, boys and girls everywhere that have an opportunity to read God's word. We're working in 200 countries around the world, putting Bibles out in about 190 different languages. And distributing Bibles today at the rate of some 90 million scriptures a year. These are large numbers. And I know large numbers just go right over everybody's head. But they're large numbers, and you need to know about them. Recently, and I can't give you the date because it's not published, but the Gideon's International distributed 2 billion, that's with a B, scriptures from a beginning in 1908 of 3 Bibles in a hotel in the Midwest. In 1958, that's 50 years later, I'm going to do the math for you. Karen and I were married. I was a young sailor, very young, 20 years old. I used to be that young. My bride was 18 years old, and we had the world on a downhill pull. That's what we thought. I mean, after all, Uncle Sam was paying me the magnificent sum of $92 a month. What more could I need? Well, I soon found out I needed a lot more than that. We were on temporary assignment to Treasure Island in San Francisco Bay. We're going to be there 6 weeks. This was our honeymoon. We just got married. We didn't have any place to live. I couldn't live on the base. Treasure Island is a training base, and I didn't have the rank to support a wife. And I learned a very important lesson. No landlord is going to rent me an apartment for 6 weeks. Just not going to happen. So we were in a motel room for 6 weeks. And in Oakland, on the far side of the bay, the cheapest thing we could find, and memory tells me it was $25 a week for that motel room. It did have a little kitchenette. For all the good that did, we couldn't afford to buy any food to cook. It had a TV set in that room. TVs that some of you young people have never seen, the tube was kind of round. The picture was black and white and very fuzzy. It took a quarter. You had to put a quarter in the slot for this thing to even play, and then it would play for half an hour. I didn't have any quarters to play in that TV set. But in that hotel room was a Gideon placed Bible. Now, this is free. It didn't cost anything. It was in the room for me to use. And so every evening, Karen and I would sit there on the edge of the bed because there wasn't any other furniture. And we'd read God's word together. That was our beginning as a married couple. And God has richly blessed us over the years.
In 1980, now that's a good ways down the road, isn't it? But it took that long for us to start realizing that we needed to read God's word seriously. And we both did. He was working nights and he had nothing better to do, so he started reading God's word. had a little reading calendar, and there happened to be some little reading calendars, Bible reading calendars. There's a bunch of them right here, so feel free to take one if you'd like. But he started reading, and I saw a change in this man that was just really wonderful. And I started reading God's Word. And Larry, I'm so glad that you used Ephesians 2, because Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 is my life-changing verse. My life-changing verse. It was assurance that I, by God's grace, through my childlike faith, had accepted Jesus Christ, and that I was his workmanship. Well, now, if I was his workmanship, what had I been doing all those years? This was, I hate to say it, but this was in 1985. I'm 45 years old. But I was so excited, I could hardly wait to tell him when he got home that night what God had been doing. But I wanted to make sure he knew, too, the real way to heaven. And he was good to answer the right questions properly. We recommitted our life to the Lord that very night, June the 4th, 1985. We said, Lord, wherever you want us to be, whatever it is you want us to do, please open the door. Help us to be equipped. Help us to go and do whatever you want us to do. Once again, it was one small step at a time, but God brought us into churches like this, where there was prayer, where there was wonderful worship music, where there was preaching, where there was teaching, where we were being equipped with God's powerful word. In our Sunday school class, we had a... Believe it or not, we had mostly Wycliffe Bible translators in our Sunday school class. You talk about people knowing God's Word, they know God's Word. And they've been spreading it for a long time. So we were growing and everything. Well, there was there were other people in that class too that were growing. And they were a part of a ministry called the Gideons. They invited us to a dinner. We went. And I was praying that Butch would hear the calling of the Lord's voice to say, yes, we want to join the Gideons. Because I couldn't say I wanted to. I had to be submissive to my husband's calling. But once he said, then I could come on board. Praise God, he said yes. Well, to speed up the process, this happened at a time that was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. We were waiting to find out if we had actually been approved. Has to go through, the pastor has to go through different things with international to make sure. God's glory was all around. God's glory was all around. When we sang that song, I thought, God's glory was all around 20 years ago. The wildflowers, we'd never seen them so beautiful. But we got home after having come up here from Dallas to see those beautiful wildflowers. And just a few days later, Palm Sunday weekend, our middle son was involved in an automobile accident. We needed our church family. We needed our Gideon friends. And they were there. They were there. Y'all prayed for all these different people. You don't know the power of prayer. And you don't know the comfort that it brings. But standing with somebody that is hurting is so important. Our friends stood with us, and we were introduced to Gideon cards at that time. We'd never heard of a Gideon card. But they gave donations in memory of our son Mike for Bibles. Flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. It stands forever. So we were excited about that. Now I'm going to give it back to my husband.
Well, losing a son is a traumatic experience. Some of you parents have been through it, some haven't. But your church family and your Christian communities do support those couples who were in need at that time, and we were in desperate need. I retired from AT&T in 1999, just about 5 years later. And we bought a motorhome, sold our home in the Dallas area, and went off to see the world. We had a great time for 3 years and wound up in Medina, Texas. And how we got there, I don't really know. But been there ever since. Sold the motorhome, and I guess we're permanent. But I got involved there with the local camp of the Gideons International. I had joined the Gideons, as she said, in 95, but I hadn't done any work. And so this was kind of a new experience for me. Distributing Bibles gives you the opportunity to witness to people. And it's amazing to me how many times in life God puts someone in your path that you didn't anticipate, and you didn't see coming, and you didn't realize it was going to happen. And God uses that for His kingdom and His glory. And you and I, we have to be ready for those opportunities, because they're going to happen. His commandment is to love one another and to tell the world about Jesus, and He's serious about it. So you need to be serious about it. I was in a hospital room, having breathing difficulties, some other troubles. I was in Peterson in Kerrville. Nurses trying to stick needles in me, and I don't know what all they're, you know. I was kind of scared, and Karen was kind of scared, and this nurse noticed this ring on my finger. It's, you can't see it from where you are. It's just a ring. It's a James Avery ring, and it's embossed in gold with the Alpha and the Omega. These are Greek letters of the Greek letters of the alphabet, first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. And that's what's, but you know, when you look at it, it looks like Chinese hieroglyphics or something. So she commented about my ring and asked me what it was about, and I told her, I said, well, that's the Alpha and the Omega. And she said, what's that? I said, well, that's Jesus Christ. He says that of Himself in Revelation chapter 1. Really? That's in the Bible? It really is. So she was able to produce a New Testament that she had received as a graduate nurse.
No, it was me that had it.
Well, anyway, so I opened it up to Revelation, and there it is, Alpha and Omega. Jesus Christ is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We had the opportunity to share Christ with her. And I'm still laying on this gurney, and I'm just as scared as I ever was, but I feel a whole lot better. And I don't know, obviously I survived.
Well, we want to thank the people of this community for having an organization called Bandera County Christian Fellowship. Some of you have visited that. Butch and I did too. Butch had an opportunity to be invited, and then he invited me to come along, and others have been invited, and it was a stepping stone. Because it's sometimes hard to get into a church to tell what God's word is doing when you don't know the people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I called on a pastor on the telephone. I didn't know him. And I called him on the telephone to invite him to come to a Gideon dinner. And this guy was kind of rude. He really didn't appreciate me calling him. So, you know, I thought that was kind of uncalled for response, but at any rate, So I asked him, well, since you won't come to my dinner, how about if I come to your church and talk to your congregation about the Gideons? And he was kind of really offended then. He said, no, that is not going to happen. But he said, I'll tell you what I will do. If you'll come to my church, I'll introduce you as a Gideon, and I promise you're going to get a good offering. You know, where'd that come from? Because up to then, this conversation had been pretty icy. When I hung up the phone, I told her, I said, this is the strangest call I ever had. I'm going to go visit that church, and I want to meet this guy and see who he really is. And so I did. And he was as good as his word. When he started to preach, he said, we have a visitor in our congregation this morning. Stand up, Butch. So I stood up. He said, Butch is a Gideon. You don't know what a Gideon is. They're the ones that put the Bibles in the hotel. Sit down, Butch. So I sat down. And then he started to tell his congregation. He had been a prisoner of war in Southeast Asia in 1968. And the only thing he had in that prisoner of war camp was a Gideon Place New Testament that he had received when he had been deployed overseas in the United States. That's all he had. They let him keep that. Other than that, he was naked. They took everything away from him. Him and two other men escaped. They got outside the prison compound, and he realized he had left this back in his cell. He was not a Christian at that time, he said. But he told his companions that it would. He said, you guys go on ahead, I'll catch up. I'm going back in there and get this Bible. It represented home to him. He wasn't a Christian, but this was his tie to the United States and home, and he wanted it. And he went back and he got it, and he still has it today. He since has read it, become a Christian and a pastor, and he's been serving South Texas in the ministry for over 40 years. And I can't begin to imagine how many souls have been touched by his testimony from one Gideon Place New Testament. That's the way God works. He works with strange people, young sailors that have no money for a 25-cent operated TV set. You know, men of war who are in a prisoner of war camp in the most inhumane conditions you can imagine. They're not readers, but they have it. God uses people. And we're supposed to be available for that. And you don't have to be a professionally trained clergyman to tell other people what Jesus Christ has done for you. That doesn't require any Bible training whatsoever. If Christ has touched your life, you can tell somebody about it. And that's powerful testimony, and that will have a lasting impact on God's kingdom, the eternal kingdom in heaven that Randy just sang about. Thank you. So that's who the Gideons are. I'm happy to be a Gideon. And I'm real pleased that I get this opportunity to share some of these testimonies and to tell people about what Christ has done in the life of this and that and some other person. I have chosen this morning just to speak about Christ's personal involvement in my life and her life and our life together. So I hope you have heard his message. When the Gideons come to a local congregation to speak, we come to tell you who the Gideons are and what we do. We also come to ask your support, your prayer support. Gideons work around the world, and some of the countries we work in are hostile to the message of Jesus Christ. So we are earnestly requesting you to pray for those men working in those countries, for their protection and their courage to keep it up. And we also come to ask if there are any of you who think you might be interested in the Gideon ministry yourselves. If so, I'd love to speak to you after the service or anytime. Call me. We can talk. We also ask for financial support. We can put this Bible in a hotel room for $5. You think about how many hotels there are in the United States and how many rooms in each hotel, and you start running into big numbers again. We put this Bible in that hotel room for $5. And I'm happy to be able to tell you there are very few hotel rooms that don't have one in there. And a lot of the ones that don't, it's because the last guest took it home with them. Which is okay. I'll be glad to replace it. But it costs $5. This little New Testament costs $1.50, $1.30 to $1.50. For $130, I can put 100 of these in someone's hands in Central America. And I promise you, they don't reject the opportunity. They're happy to get it. We have, the Gideon's International has, requests for 2 million scriptures in third world countries, many of them in Central and South America, that we're unable to fill those requests because we don't have the money. So we come and we ask for financial support. And I try to make sure you understand, the money I'm talking about does not come from your support of this church. Your first obligation in bringing your tithe is to support this church and its ministry in this community. And don't you ever forget that. So the money I'm asking you for is extra money. You may not have any, and that's okay. You can pray for us. And if you do have some money, I'll be at the back of the church with this Bible in my hand, opened up. You just lay your gift on it with my thanks and God's blessings. Now, I'd like for you to join me in prayer. And that's going to conclude what I have to say this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your command that we love one another. Give us the strength to do that. Give us the intelligence to do that. Give us the will to do that. Show us what that is, as you have already done with your Son on the cross, in whose name we pray this morning. Amen. Thank you.